I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, this is the Carson Anderson Show. This is Kang Nguyen, co-hosting with Jake Riepma today, and for Doug and Scott, who are down at the funeral for our lost co-worker and friend, Jamie Samuelson. And we're talking about colonoscopies real quick before the break. And the last caller had, you know, was really adamant about, you know, don't just ask for a colonoscopy from your doctor, demand one. And we have Adam in Novi, who is an actual doctor, called in, and he wanted to get his two thoughts on it. Adam, thanks for calling in. 97 on the ticket.
Hey, gang, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah, like I said, you know, I'm a physician, and I think what the last caller said is very true. I mean, especially this day and age, I think screening should happen earlier with a colonoscopy. Having said that, you know, it's not about riding your high horse. Most of us can't afford a horse. They're in medicine because of our loans. On the other side of it, you know, I'll be all for patients having screening colonoscopies at the age of 40. Problem is insurance and hospitals won't allow it to happen. And that means the cost would have to come out of the patient's pocket, and it wouldn't be cheap. You know, you're talking over $10,000 for a procedure such as that. And most of that does not go to the doctor. The doctor makes a couple hundred bucks off of that. The rest of it is facility fees, et cetera. So that's really what has to change. And that's true for healthcare system in the United States of America in general. It's run by insurance companies.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean, it does start at the top. If cost wasn't an issue, though, Adam, what age would you recommend personally if people start calling and seeing they can get a colonoscopy?
I mean, personally, I think that 40 is the right age. I'm under 40. And I have a cousin who's a gastroenterologist, and he pretty much has our entire family scared of colon cancer. So, I mean, everyone in my family, basically, by the time you take 30, starts taking Metamucil supplementation, like, every other day. Not that I have a GI problem, but just, like, as a preventative. And that's, like, a simple, cheap way to do something, at least. You know, you're getting a natural type of fiber with psyllium. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, the problem is that it has to change from the top, and it's hard to get it to change.
Well, everyone, call your insurance company and find out what if you've hit your deductible and how much it would cost. But thank you, Adam. We appreciate it, man. It's important to get, you know, we've talked about this before with cancer. You got to catch it early. That's your best hope. And so, unfortunately, if it comes out of your own pocket, it is very expensive. And a lot of people can't afford that, Jake.
No doubt. And Kang, you know, we are now privileged to be joined by Yahoo Sports columnist and best-selling author Dan Wetzel, who's got a hold on everything that's going on in the college football layout and just to help us kind of make sense of where we are. And Dan, thanks so much for joining us here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. How are you?
Real good, real good. How are you doing? I mean, the last 24 hours, it's kind of, we've described it as a little bit of a roller coaster ride, and not even just the last 24 hours, but really since the Big Ten schedule was released, there's been even more uncertainty. So let's kind of start there with what's taken place since that big meeting at 10:30, and where do we stand here now at a little bit after noon?
Still in a wait and see approach right now on, you know, on exactly what's going to happen. You know, this time yesterday is almost overwhelming that the sentiment was they would cancel fall sports in the Big Ten today. This is more of a formality, and the Big 12 would go along with them. My guess is that will still happen, maybe not today or at some point, but the really strong push by coaches and players, particularly yesterday, and making their case on why they think they should continue on, I could certainly see that have this decision tabled for a couple weeks, give it a little more time. The season is supposed to start September 5th, That's the first part of the Big Ten. So you're running out of time to get full padded practices and get ready for the season. COVID is one thing. Football is a dangerous game no matter what. So everyone needs to be in shape. But there is time to push the season back really all the way to September 26th or even later. So it's possible they come out of this and say, hey, look, we're gonna take a couple more weeks to study it, see how the interaction goes with when players and students are back on campus and different things like this. But it is an uphill fight, although I think the you know, Harbaugh, Ryan Day, Scott Frost, and certainly players throughout the, not just the Big Ten, but Trevor Lawrence and all over the country made, you know, a compelling case on, hey, we think, we're not arguing the science, we're just saying the protocols and the standards of what we have on our campus and in our program can keep us safe while the virus is there, and we would actually be safer playing football, even though we're going to breathe on each other for a couple hours a day because of all of the things we're going to do the rest of the hours rather than being regular students or going back to our hometowns.
Well, Dan, you kind of just mentioned it. This football's supposed to start real soon here, September 5th, you said, but they put out the schedule, and there was flexibility when they put out the schedule, so they could push it back if need be or things had to be postponed. But then all of a sudden we have the rumors coming out where it's a 12-2 vote that, you know, they want to postpone or push back the season or suspend the season. How much of the we want to play movement and the coaches we want to coach movement, how much is that really weighing, you know, on them tabling the discussion? Or is this for show? Do you know what I mean? It's ultimately, is it just going to be, hey, we're kicking the can down the road because we're still going to make the same decision, but we're you know, we're not doing it right now instead?
Yeah, and that's if they kick it down the road. I don't know. I mean, you know, you want to make I think anybody would say, let's make this decision in a vacuum. Let's make this decision based on medical and safety protocol, all of those things. But in the end of the day, it's still a political decision. And I don't mean, you know, Republican, Democrat, but just – These are individuals who have to make this call. There's a president of the university. There's also often chancellors of campus. There's board of trustees. There's just so many, you know, politicians weighing in on this. You have so many different people involved. So it's a human decision. And so to say, look, if everybody's shouting and riling it up, that might not impact it. But you have very smart people, and you have medical boards, and you have a decision. I think that the complication here, and I get the frustration because it's sort of like you want the season played or the season that gets played or canceled. It's a stark division, but both sides have really good points. So if you have medical people saying, look, this is pointless. So why would we try this? This is not safe. You know, football's just, it doesn't work during a pandemic. They're making a science argument, and they may be making that argument with the best understanding and belief and knowledge they have. And then you have, say, Harbaugh saying, look, we're not arguing the science. We're not arguing those facts. What I'm saying is the way we keep people safe, the way we would conduct our business here, these guys are safer because of our protocol. What we know in sports is the best way to compete safely is to have a bubble. All the bubbles are working in the various sports. They're doing them. Well, they can't do that in college football, but you can create some kind of a bubble by saying, look, our guys are at our facility 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. They're over here eating. They're surrounded by professionals. Scott Frost of Nebraska mentioned just the motivation of saying, hey, we're going to have a game on Saturday, might keep a player from putting himself at some kind of risk. And that could be going to some big party on a Friday night or Thursday night, or it could even be jamming into a dorm room with five other guys playing Madden for 3 hours, right? It could be any of those things. So there's all sorts of ways that I think both sides are making, you know, good faith and poignant arguments for what they're saying. And you have a president in the middle or the campus leadership that's got to pick which one. And so that's why I think maybe there's a little pause, maybe not. I certainly would not be surprised if the Big Ten comes out and makes an announcement and says, you know, we've canceled fall sports. I'm not saying this is teetering, but it's certainly there seemed to be some momentum for that. There was a slowed momentum for that in the last 24 hours. And I think that's fair. They should listen to some coaches and some players and consider that.
Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports joining us here on 97.1 The Ticket. Dan, the SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey was on Good Morning America this morning, and to paraphrase, he certainly seemed to be making it clear that the SEC is very, very much leaning towards playing in some capacity. If you look at college football on the national scale, if, let's say, hypothetically, the Big Ten is to make a decision to cancel and the SEC says, let's go ahead and play, what are some of the long-term implications of really an impactful decision like that?
Well, I don't know the exact wording he gave on Good Morning America today, but in general, all the leagues have been pretty... including the SEC and Greg Sankey, have been very consistent in saying, until the medical people tell us not to move forward, we will continue to move forward. And they have pushed their season back a little bit. And this is why you cancel the non-conference, to give yourself this flexibility, right? But they have not approved playing games at the SEC yet, unless something happened this morning. They have said we can move to this level or this phase. And that's one of the things. Like in the Big Ten, they can't even practice in full pads. So until we get to that level, how do you have a game? You can't have a game. So we're moving slowly. So it may – sometimes I think some of these things are like, well, these guys are a go. The Big Ten is technically still planning on playing a football season. They released a schedule 5 days ago. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get there. So – I don't know that any of these leagues are 100% gung-ho we're doing it. We also, Greg Sankey has also said, look, because, you know, one of the arguments that all of us make is if this decision is not centralized like it would be in the NFL or something like that, what's good for the Big Ten may not be good for the SEC or vice versa. So if the Big Ten cancels, why doesn't the SEC just go alone? Who cares? At least there's some college football on here. For whatever reason, and I would think you could do it, but for whatever reason, when you talk to these people at commissioner level and the athletic director level, there's just not an appetite to go it alone and do it yourself. Now, could you get a Big 12, ACC, SEC, say, we're all going to play? You'd get the military academies, you know, maybe BYU would jump in. There'd be a few. That's possible, but if the Big 10 and the Pac-12 bail out, it becomes a lot less likely that those other leagues will continue on. There just isn't, for whatever reason, there just isn't that interest in going it alone. They certainly could, but that probably won't happen. But I wouldn't take any comment from any of the leagues like, we're definitely doing it. You know, a lot of times that can be, you know, slightly misinterpreted or whatever. I don't know exactly what he said, but the SEC could still cancel out their football season.
I think we know everything's pretty much fluid, if anything, yeah. Right? I mean, you just don't know anymore. One more thing before we let you go, Dan. If the fall football season and fall sports are canceled, and let's just get specifically into football, how realistic do you think a spring season is, and is that a good idea, in your opinion?
Yeah, you know, the schools have looked...
Dan?
Challenges.
We lost you real quick there. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Oh. You know, the schools have only started to really look in it. Obviously, there's huge challenges. Your best players are going to bail. They're just going to go to the league. And I don't blame them. How many games could you play in the spring? Is things better in the spring? What kind of TV money is there in the spring? It could be big. It could be small. We don't know because there's so many unknowns. But how would it impact the 2021 season? You can't really play. Yeah, this is not an appetite to play 12 games in the spring and 12 games in the fall on a bunch of college kids. That's an awful lot of games in an 8-9 month window, basically two full seasons. So it creates all sorts of other challenges. I'm not saying it wouldn't happen, but it's not, you know, it's not just simple. And would you rather say, do you want 2 8-game seasons, or would you rather just say, all right, this isn't happening, but fall of 2021, we're full boat back into this. And that's obviously the hope that we are in a better shape a year from now. I think a lot of people would just say, let's just go to 2021 and do the whole thing, get fully back up. But
Yeah.
It'll become the next debate. It's not simple. It's also what is spring? Spring in south is one thing. Spring in the
Oh, there's going to be snow here still, Dan. You live here. You know this, yeah. Man, right? So
yeah, I mean, when do you start playing?
Exactly.
April?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Well, Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, thanks, man. We appreciate the time. It's also got a podcast with Pat Forty. You guys do a great job on that, talking college football and everything else, too, as well. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, Dan.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.